This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. I am Tony Bruschi. Interesting testimony today from one of Alex's former friends and colleagues reacting to the news of when Alex tried to kill himself or had himself murdered or whatever exactly that was. Here's the exchange from court today.
Alex and Paul together a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And Paul was with his grandfather a lot.
And I think you mentioned that Paul would leave stuff over there?
All three of them, but, you know, they would just, they'd leave a gun, they'd leave a coat, they'd leave a flashlight, maybe all three. And it was just sort of a running joke that you had to kind of go around and gather up their stuff after they left. And that was just them.
And did you remember one time Paul left a gun over there for a couple of months?
He did, and Alec left one time, I believe, and I cleaned it and put it up, and he started asking around where his gun was, and, you know, we just sort of played with him a little bit and then gave it back to him.
Right. I think you testified moving from September the 4th. You had gotten word about a shooting involving Alec, and I think your words were that jackass had killed himself.
That was what I thought immediately.
And why did you think that?
Because of all that had gone on. We had terminated him, or he had resigned the day before. This financial stuff was starting to come out. And, you know, I thought, you know, he'd lost two family members, and now he's got no job. And, you know, it seemed feasible. I mean, I had been concerned about him, his mental health, from the time of the murders up until then. In fact, I had suggested that he go see somebody for grief counseling. We were all grieving their loss. And you know, it's one of those deals that you can tell when somebody's not hitting on all cylinders. And he obviously was. I would come by his office and he would be crying. I mean, or I would ask him something. I remember him asking me one time when he was going through he had a stack of sympathy cards, and he said, should I send them all back a note? And I said, Alec, people don't send you sympathy cards to, you know, get a note back from you. There's no way in the world you can do that.
And
he said
he was terminated from the firm and you were concerned about perhaps what he might do, did you ever think maybe he'll go kill a family member? Did that ever cross your mind?
No. You talking about when we terminated him?
Yes, sir.
By then, Maggie and Paul had been killed.
Well, he had family out there.
He did. I never thought of any of that. Listen, when September the 2nd hit, it changed everything that I knew about Alec. I would have never believed that a guy that, you know, was like family would have ever stolen from me, would have stolen from his family, would have stolen from his clients, or any of that. And so immediately you've got this rage, this emotion that you've got. And then on the 3rd, we go through this whole ordeal of the termination, and then the 4th it hits, and you're like, you know, did the jackass kill himself because of anything else? And then as time progressed on and you see the scope of it, I mean, I don't know the guy that after September the 3rd and leading out, I don't know who that guy is. I mean, that's not Alec that I knew.
Right.
And Alec that I loved, and Alec that all of us loved. You know, did he have imperfections? You bet. Did he do things that aggravated the hell out of me? You bet. But you don't kick your brother out the door because, you know, they snore at night or you know, they've done things that aggravate you. You get past it. But when they do things that are criminal and they do things that affect not only him, but he's torn down an entire legacy, a law firm. I've spent 34 years, or 33 years, I guess, in this one place. It's the only law firm that I've ever worked at. I put everything in it. It's all my children have known, my family's known, and it's gone. We had to change the name. We've had to do all these things because of his acts on this financial stuff. And when it comes to that, I'm mad as hell. I mean, you just don't know how mad I am. But on the other hand, I'm not saying that because he did that, he's done what he's accused of. And so that's, you know, that's sort of the bottom line of it. His actions that, I mean, he was doing that way back, but we never knew it.
Sure.
And when we found out about it, it makes you doubt everything, and it's just human nature. But I don't have one shred of anything. All I can do is just point to what I saw.
And you pointed to the roadside shooting and what you saw. You thought that jackass tried to kill himself.
Absolutely, and I may not have said jackass, but that's about as.
And logically, to you, it made sense why he would want to kill himself in that moment.
Sure. I mean, he lost, as far as I was concerned, he'd lost everything. He'd lost his job, and he'd lost, forget the job, forget the money, forget what's going to happen to him. He'd lost his wife and his child. And
are you aware that he had $12 million of life insurance?
I didn't know what he had. I assumed he had some life insurance, but no. I mean, I never had that conversation with him, and quite frankly, I'd have to see it to really believe it.
Okay. Thank you. That's all the questions.
Recross.
I think you just said that what you know now about this man who'd been your partner and friend for 34 years causes you to question everything you thought you knew about him. Isn't that right?
It does.
You were asked about all those clients that had to be repaid money, and none of that money came from him, did it?
No, sir.
Y'all had to pay that money, right?
We did.
How much?
I would say, at this point, probably north of $10 or $11 million. Now, insurance paid for some of that, but I mean, there's been a substantial chunk of that that came out of our pocket.
You were asked about Alec having some cases that were coming in, but you explained, though, that this is June, and that disbursement's not going to come to him until December. He's not going to be able to get that money until December, correct? Any of what he's entitled to, which isn't all of it, correct? Because it belongs to the firm.
Right. Everything belongs to the firm until the end of the year when you meet, and then you divide up money and...
And that's why he stole the Ferris fees in March, because he needed the money right then.
I would assume so. I mean, the money was gone. And it was paid in three checks.
You said that in the month after the murders, he wasn't really working on cases. But he sure managed to arrange to cover those Ferris fees to pay him back so that everyone would forget about it, didn't he? Or not all of it. He managed to do that, didn't he?
Yeah, well, part of it. I mean, I think there was $192,000 that didn't...
That he convinced Chris Wilson to cover for it.
Convinced, or Chris had to cover it, one of the two.
You were asked about him cooperating with law enforcement in the murders. But he never told law enforcement that he was down at the kennels just minutes with the victims before they died. He never told law enforcement that, did he?
Yeah, I did.
I think it's responsive to redirecting them.
You can testify if you know.
I don't know what he told law enforcement other than what's been out there in the public.
Well, let me ask you this. He denied to you three times that he ever went to those kennels, did he not?
He did.
his buddy, his friend, and his law partner, 34 years, told you three times, I was never there.
That's correct.
And you know now that's a lie.
When I saw the video a month or so ago.
Thank you, Mr. Ball.
We step down.
That's the latest that we have for you. Keep it here for the latest on this trial as it continues to unfold. We'll have all the details for you right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.